Marmokomos were received.
Okay.
So I wanted to finish off, again, just what we want to do, like we said before Yontif, is I just want to finish off a few little topics, and then we're going to proceed to Bava Kama Samachei Amud Aleph. Just going to give you a few things for Bava Kama Samachei Amud Aleph, so you can already begin preparing that. The Gemara on Samachei Amud Aleph is the big sugya. Gufo Marav. First we're going to do Karen Kane Shaganov, and then we'll do Kefel Dalav Behekashas Amad Abedin. But Karen Kane Shaganov, the Gemara Bava Kama Samachei Amud Aleph. Gufo Marav until Kashas Amad Abedin, the end of the Amud. Tosas Divramaskol Gufa. Also Tosas Samachei Amud Beis Divramaskol Alma. The Rosh Perek Zion Simon Beis. The Rabbeinu Yonason, which is in the old Shita Mekubetzes, page 225, column 2. Find it in the new one, on whatever page it is. Divra Maschol Achya, Achya LeKaren. Also 228, column 1, also Rabbeinu Yonason. In connection with that also, the Tosas Bava Kama Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph, Divra Maschol Meshalem, and the Hagos HaGra on that Tosas. And the Rush, Bava Kama, Perek Tes, Simon Gimel. It's very important. The Gemara Tmura, Daf Dalet Omid Beis, Amra Abaya Komilsod, Amra Achmana Losabid, that whole Gemara, until the Avar Amemra de Rachmana. And the Gemara continuation on Vav Omid Aleph, starting from Bahare Gezel until Kimosha Gazel. And we read the Rashi. And the Shita Mekubetzes is reading of that Gemara. Shita Mekubetzes is in the Hashmatos. In other words, not on the... they print them in different places, but the longer piece in the Hashmatos, not just for the Girsa issue. The Ramban and the Ritva, Bab Metzia, and Shita Mekubetzes, Bab Metzia, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, we already alluded to it. Tiramas Hod Amrinan, again in the old Shita Mekubetzes, Bab Metzia, it's on page 231, column 2. But you can find it there in the, separately in the Ramban and Ritzvah if you want. The Ksos HaKosha and Simen Lamedalet Sivkat and Gimel, just the part that he wants, we're going to do the whole piece, Tavra Fashasya, but the part that he wants to prove from Itbar Mimela. But in connection with that, again, discussion of the Ramban and Ritzvah, Itbar Mimela, the Ksos's attempted Raya in Lamedalet Gimel from there. And of course, connected to that, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that we've alluded to, but we should actually see. Sanhedrin, Ayin Bey, Somad Aleph, Amar Rav, Habab Machteris, the Mishnah, until the Gemara Midi Dehava Shoel. And at least now, we'll elaborate this Gemara when we do Tavra Vashasya, but even for now, just the Balamor and the Ramban and Mochamos. If you also get a chance, or if not, we can do it later. But the Ravid and the Kosov Sham and the Yad Ramah as well. But that's, I'm not going to need those two right away. We'll go into details for that when we do Tavra Shasya. Also, Tosus Bava Kama Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We already made allusion to that as well. Ein Shamin Lagana for Lagazlan. And the parallel Tosus in Bab Metzia, Tzadi Bav Mabes, Dir Maskel Zil Shlim. And of course, the big Tulsus Rid, Bava Kama Samachei Amud Aleph, Divra Maschol Ki Ka'amar Rav. Also, Tulsus Rid Samach Vav Amud Aleph, Amar Rav. Okay, these are a lot of Marmokomos. We're not going to do all of them the first day, obviously. You can take it pretty much in this order, but this is a topic that's very, very important. So again, it'll be easier because we've already made certain allusions to some of the issues, but Karen Kane Shaganov is very important, and that'll be followed by Kefel and Dalad Behe Kashas Amad Abedin. That's the, in the near horizon, those are the topics that we're going to be doing in the next little while. Okay. Before we do that, we have to just finish up what we were doing. First, a comment about Shtaros. I'm not sure if we got there. We were rushing in the end on the day before Erev Yom Kippur, whatever it was. So just two comments very briefly. We discussed what the relationship is between Shavuos HaPikadon and Gezel. We noted that there certainly is an important relationship between the two. We talked about this in terms of the sugya of karka einon exeles, or at least even if you don't want to, that's the way Rashi understands the sugya. If you want to be technical about it, the Gemara discusses mashbia ede karka, and the Gemara quotes the status of karka with respect to gezel hareish chalafanecha, and in an effort to prove whether or not mashbia ede karka is going to be chayiv or pater. Again, for Rashi, this is all the both the sugya on Kufyud Zayin in Bava Kama, and in Shavuos is the sugya of Karka and Exalus and Exalus. And the point we raised was, I mentioned Reb Chaim's view, which is that Shavuos HaBikad on the Mechayiv is Gzela, even it's done B'derech Shavuos Sheker, but the main Mechayiv is Gzela, and this is one of his rayas, after all, it's the same sugya of Karka and Exalus Sugat, and I think that's connected with the printed Reb Chaim, the one in Ilkos Shavuos, where it tries to explain that even though generally the Rambam has the view that that we don't really accept the view of Ein Nishbaim al Kfiras Shibud Karkos, meaning if you have a milva, even a milva b'shtar, which triggers Shibudim, even that you don't say Ein Nishbaim. A simple reading of the Gemara in a number of places that we say Ein Nishbaim al Kfiras Shibud Karkos. It's a Gemara in first parak of Bam Metzia, and the Gemara in Shavuos, a number of Gemara, the Gemara in Ksuvas. Nonetheless, the Rambam and the Rimigash seem to shy away from paskening like that Gemara. They seem to hold in a number of places that as long as you're not talking about karka proper, even if there is shibud nechasim, nonetheless, the rule is that nishboin, even if there are shibudim. That seems to be the general psak of the Rimigash and of the Rambam. Nonetheless, when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, there and there alone, the Rambam paskins Ein Nishbaim al Kfiras Shibud Karkos. So Reb Chaim in Hilchos Shavuos tries to explain why that should be so, and part of his explanation is the idea that Shavuos HaPikadon, the Mechayiv is Gezela, and therefore you have to steal everything. It's not enough to steal something. The other context, you have Karka and Metaltalin. After all, it's Shibud Karkos, but until you get to Shibud Karkos, there's a Shibud Aguf, right? There's the potential for Gviya Mibnei Chari or Metaltalin. So, since there are both elements, you don't consider that Nishvoy Malakarka. But when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, the idea is that the Shavua is an act of Gezel. And as such, you gozel everything. And it's a total gezel. And therefore, included in the act of gezel of this shvua is karka. And therefore, the rule is, in this case, ein nishbaim al kfir shibud. That's basically how Reb Chaim explains, and that's l'shitasa. But my point here is, so this is an interesting discussion when we talk about shvuas apikadon, how much mechayev of shvuas sheker, how much mechayev of gezel. And Reb Chaim at least was convinced a lot of, or maybe predominantly of gezel. The truth is I'm not so sure about that, at least in terms of karka, in terms of some of the other things. I actually thought the Rambam might go the other way, but that's a different larger topic. In connection with this, we should note that our Tosis's discussion here on Samach Beis Amud Beis Miut Bishtaros, the Tosa asks the question, that one of the last things that we were discussing, Tosa says, how can you require a Miut for Kefel based on the halach of, you know, of Shtaros and Gufa Mamon? Why not simply say that there's no Hefsed Mamon? Because ain't Doin Dina Degarbi, and even if Doin Dina Degarbi, that's only the Rabbanon. How would that justify the need for a Daraisa Miut to exclude Kefel? After all, there's no real Hefsek. Okay. So we already know that Tosis gives the answer that as long as there is a Be'en and there's a Chiyuv Hashava, the one might have thought that there'd be a Chiyuv Kefel as well, even if there is no Hefsek. And what exactly that means, we discussed last time. Is that a way of saying Gneva is different than Mazik, and Hefsed Mamon is not all that counts, but the Maisa itself is what counts? Or is he saying something a little bit different, that Kefel flows from the Chiyuv Hashava and not from the Isur or Maisa Gneva? Various possibilities. He also noted that Tosfos Shavuos has slightly different perspective on this. Number one, Tosfos has the view that even if Ein Doin Dina Degarmi, nonetheless, number one, Tosfos has the view that maybe Doin Dina Degarmi, it depends on it. Meaning, Doin Dina Degarmi may be Doraisa, and it's not according to that Man Damar that we require such limudim. That's one possibility. Tosfos also doesn't seem to link the status of Shtar to the issue of Be'en and Hashava. It seems like Tosfos thinks that even if the Be'en was destroyed, there still might be a Chiyuv or the need for a Miut to exclude Zayin. It seems in general that Tosfos there is considering that the need for Gzeiras HaKasuv will apply even if in fact from a Hefsid point of view Shtar doesn't qualify. It seems like Tosfos is going further than our Tosfos. So we should just note that the sugya there, the Tosfos there, is not bothered by the question that our Tosfos is bothered by. Each Tosfos is bothered by its own sugya. Our sugya is a miut with regard to Kefel. The sugya in Shavuos is a miut with regard to Shavuos HaPikadon. Right there, the Gemara is talking about the fact that Shavuos HaPikadon, Majbia, Edei Karka, Edei Avodim, Edei Shtaros, right, is not going to apply based on the miutim. The Tosa says, well, what do you need a limud? After all, there's not even Dina de Garmi. Even if you were to rip up the shtar explicitly, Ma'abe the shtar, you wouldn't be chayiv. So certainly, if you're Nishbal HaSheker, you're not going to be chayiv for Shavuos HaPikadon. That's Tosa's question. So the point is that one could be mechalik between these two questions in either direction. That's really the point I want to make. It's a similar question, and Tosfos struggles similarly. Whatever Tosfos says in one place, he theoretically could have said in the other place. But as we've already noted, Kefel is unique in that there might be a special connection to Chiyuv HaShava. Maybe that's why this Tosfos appears only, that answer appears only in our Tosfos and not in Tosfos and Shavuos. Moreover, if Kefel is connected to what's unique about Gneva, and it specifically relates to the Maisa Gneva, more so than to the general idea of Hefsid Mamon, so then we understand that's exactly the point. That's one of the reasons we think this is such a good Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says basically, if you were to analyze Kefel from the perspective of Mazik, you wouldn't need a Miut. Kamash Malan, the one way to explain it is the assumption is wrong. Gneva has nothing to do with Mazik, not at all, because especially with regard to Kefel, it's about Maisot Tzomrishus Abaylin, a completely different mechayim. But when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, right, which is a form of Gezel, this answer about Maisot Tzomrishus Abaylin being a separate mechayim is not going to help you very much. So maybe that would explain why Tosfos doesn't focus on the N answer so much. In addition to possibly being a Makolkes, it could be just not as attractive a solution. Moreover, Tosfos in Shavuos really does have one Deya, that it's totally Hobahatalia with the Mechayiv of Mazik and Hefsid Mamo. In addition to being another Deya, it's possible because we're not talking about Kefa, we're not talking about Kneva, we're talking about a form of Gzela, Shavuos HaPikadon. If there's no Mazik, there's no Gzela. By the same token, it also may go in the other direction. And that is because if we say that Shavuos HaPikadon is not primarily or predominantly Gzela al Yidei Sheker, but let's say it's predominantly Hechol Shavuos Halacha. Again, the Rambam happens to mostly deal with Shavuos HaPikadon in Hechol Shavuos and not in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches, and not in the context of Shavuos Eidos and other Shavuos. And not in Hilchos Gezeila. And as such, if we take the other perspective, and that is that Shavuos HaPikadon is Mechayev of Shavuos Sheker, Shavuos Sheker Shemafsid Mamon, Shavuos Sheker Shegozel Mimenu. But the Ikar is the Mechayev of Shavua. Again, this is a similar question that we can ask about Shavuos Eidos, similar question about Asham Meilos. You might get different answers in each of these cases, particularly there may be important differences between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, but it's a legitimate question. If that's the case, so then we might go the opposite direction. We might say that Dafka, when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, Dafka there, we really don't depend so much on Hefsed. As long as there is an act of Hefsed, even if it's not a legal Hefsed that would qualify for Dina Degarmi, but there's still a Shavuos Sheker, Shelokach Mimenu Mamon, and maybe that's enough for Shavuos HaPikadon. Again, you'd have to compare it to some of the other situations of Shavuos HaPikadon, which I don't want to get into right now. So that might explain the other extreme, why Dafka in Shavuos HaPikadon, the linkage to Hefsed and to Nezek might be a weaker one. That's one issue. And I think this figures into the other point, the point that the Rav once mentioned, and I think that he said the name of his father, and that is that the Rambam found it necessary to exclude Shtar when it came to Shavuos HaPikadon and when it came to Kefel. In both cases. In other words, Perek Beis of Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Beis, right, the Rambam says explicitly that Shtar is excluded from Kefel, according to the Gemara faithfully. And the Rambam Minuchos Shavuos, likewise, in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, he also felt the need to exclude Shtaros She'en Gufan Mamon. But when it came to the Halacha of Kufyud Zayin Omid Beis, Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, namely the Din of Horei Shechol Panecha, there the Rambam talks about, the question is what he talks about, depends on the Girsa and the whole discussion we had with the Ravid, whether he talks about Karka or Avodim or both, but he certainly does not talk about Shtaros. The question is why? So I would just add, that really isn't a different Ta'ara, just in the pattern that we already noted, or that the Tosa Rosh already noted. If you recall, Tosa Rosh on our daf already asked the question, how come on Kufyud Zayin Omid Beis, if there's a Ribuy Miut, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and you're Chayiv for Gzeilas Karka V'Avadim, nonetheless you're Patur for Shtar, and yet when it comes to Gneva, on our Sugya and Meruba, it seems like Karka is the first candidate to be excluded. And Tosa Rosh asked the question, and then unfortunately he kind of, dismissed the question. Hey, you have to look at the sugyas together, and so on. Okay, but what I suggested at the time was that maybe this really is very intentional, along with the question that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was answering, and that is, does Rabbi Eliezer think that that Karka and the Avadim are also Chayiv B'Kefel? Or does he only think that, that this applies to Horesh HaKhalaf HaNecha, or to Gezela? So whether you draw the line at Gezela versus Gneva, or Kefel versus Horesh HaKhalaf HaNecha, the point is that there may be a discrepancy between these two sugyas. And the way that we explained it, consistent with the other things that we were explaining, was that when it comes to Gneva, or when it comes to Kefel specifically in Gneva, again, the name Mechayiv is Maisa Otzah Mirshus Abayli, and less so is the focus on Hefsed Mamon. Not so regarding Gzela. Gzela, it's more about Hefsed Mamon. So then it's perfect. Karka is the first Miut in Meruba, because that's about Maisa Gneva. Maisa Gneva, it's obvious that Karka, where this seems not even to be a Maisa, is the most vulnerable, the first to go. On the other hand, since it isn't so much about money, one might have thought that Shtaros, even though Ein Gufan Mamon, if not for the extra limudim, one would have thought that Shtaros might be included. He could do a Maisa Gneva with a Shtar, right? And it doesn't even have the status of Karka. But when it comes to Sugya and Kufyud Zayin Rebeis, it's exactly the opposite. That's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, I think Karka and Avadim are Nigzalim, Le'inyan HaReshul Chalafanecha. Why not? They're Bare Shovi, they're Nitan Lehezek, why shouldn't they be Nitan Legezel? The only thing that's not is shtar. Why? Because ain gufa mamon. So again, if gezel is all about hefsed mamon, that's very understandable. So in a sense, that's exactly what the Rambam did in his Hashmata. The Rambam did not quote, didn't bother with avadim in Perek Tes, even though he felt the need to exclude it from Shavuos HaPikadon and from Kefel, for the very same reason. Because Kefel or Shavuos HaPikadon because it might be about Shavuos Sheker, Gneva because it might be about Maisa and Tzomer Shesabaylim, as opposed to Harin Shechalafanecha, which is about Hesemon. I think that's the answer that the Rav gave as well, without the Tosa Rosh or the example from the Sugya and Kufi Zayin and Beis. I'm just suggesting, where did the Rambam get this from? What inspired him, you know, to take this very subtle position, if indeed he is taking this position? I'm suggesting it's the Ha'ara of the Tosa Rosh, and the possible explanation, if you don't like the answer of the Tosa Rosh, of the discrepancy of the Sugyas on Kufi Zayin and Samach Beis. But that is also consistent, perhaps, with the different treatments of Tosas on Samach Beis here and on Lamed Zayin in Shavuos, if indeed we're not just talking about different dates. Okay, so that's in terms of Shtar, and then the rest of Shtar is what we discussed already. To what extent is it a commodity? You know, it's not a full commodity, it's also not just access to the halva. It's something in between, and probably Machlokas Rishonim, how to formulate that something in between, and that relates to the other issues that we discussed. Okay. What remains to be done is a few other issues that were outstanding that we didn't finish with last time. We were talking about in-between cases, or cases that are permutations of Gneva Ugezela, and we spoke about a few of them. Drawing the line at the Iser, or at the Maisa, or at the Chiyuv Nezek of Gzela Ugneva, or at the actual Chiyuve Gzela, or at Kinyane Gzela. And even in Kinyanim, we're talking about different levels of Kinyanim, Shinui Kone, the fact that you don't have to pay Dmei Schirus, etc. These are the different permutations that we already have encountered, and we discuss them with regard to Shol Shalomidas, right, the Raivin, etc. Raivin and Rav Chaim. We discussed it with regard to Almanas La'abed, the Yerushalmi. We discussed it with regard to Almanas L'Nekat, a number of examples that we spoke of. So now I want to get back just to Kofer B'Pikadon and Shlichus Yad. Again, noting that Kofer B'Pikadon Shaleach Yad Shol Shalomidas, these are the three cases that the Rambam speaks of in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Gzela, as being Gzela cases, even though there's no Maisa, Hotzam, Rishus HaBailim, even in all three cases, it seems more like Oshek than it does Gezel, in the sense that it's Behetera Asa Liyada. Since that's true, namely that there's no obvious Maisa, Hotzam, Rishus HaBailim, is it possible that that affects also the quality of the gzela? Again, Shol Shalomidas is an additional factor, and that is he's not interested in keeping the chayfetz. Shaleach Yad, that's less clear, since it's the hishtamshus that he's interested in, and the hishtamshus is kind of permanent, even if keeping the chayfetz isn't necessarily. It's somewhere in between. Kofra Pikadon, certainly he's interested in keeping the chayfetz. That's the whole point of his denial, of his hakasha. The problem there is, he has, on the surface, he hasn't done anything with it. Right? There is no mais at all, at least in the case of Shlichus Yad and Shol Shalomidas, it's Beter Asa Liyado, but after that there is a mais. So each of these cases is slightly different from the other, but in all three cases it's legitimate to ask whether or not the quality of the gzela is compromised by virtue of either the teiros aliado, or in the case of Shol Shalomidas, its quirk, Shlichus Yad, its quirk, and Kofra Pikadon, its particular quirk. Okay. Part of the issue also revolves around the status of Chiyuv Onsin, as we have already noted. Namely, Chiyuv Onsin reflects what exactly? An onesh, In Gzela, that was the formulation of the Nesivos, when he wanted to explain why it is that Ein Shliach Dvar Veira seems to apply if he wants it. If you make a Shliach to steal for you, it appears that the Mishaleach, the Mishaleach is not the one who is going to pay the Chiv Onsen. With respect to that, we say Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira. Even though according to the Nesivos, when it comes to everything but Onshim, Yesh Shliach Ledvar Aveira, the Rav Divrei Talmud Divrei Mishomim is limited to Onshim. So how could that be? So the Nesivos came up with the idea that Chiv Onsen is an Onesh, which Misvara makes sense. In other words, I steal a piece of a property, and then it gets destroyed by a hurricane, which would have destroyed it anyway. You know, so what's the relationship between my theft and this destruction? So the Nesivos' conclusion is Chiyuv Onsen is an Onesh, but it's quite possible that it's not, and other indications that it flows from the Chiyuv of Gzela, that's different than saying the Onesh of Gzela, or even from the partial Kinyanim of Gzela, meaning the hurricane or the flood happened on my watch, my Kinyan watch, when it was my Chefetz, when it was in my Rishus. So either a Chiyuv Gzela, Kinyan Gzela, or Onshe Gzela are candidates to explain the din of Onsen, and we had this as well. Today is possibly in Tosas Anun Vavu Beis. Tos there talks about Nizke Mamon, but uses Ones as a proof. Right, you have Shinui Kona, Nizke Mamon, and Dmei Tzchirus on the Kinyan side. And then, of course, it comes up in Vavu Machteres, that Gemara and Ayin Beis in Sanhedrin that we're going to discuss more fully. And it comes up in that Ramban that I assigned you also about Idbar Mimela and a number of places as well. Do you define Ones by Shas Hatakala, Shas HaOnes, or by Shas HaHafkada, the earlier time? They depend on whether Onsen flow from Kinyanim, or they depend on Chiyuvim, or Mazik, or Onshim, etc. Okay, so these are two issues to explore more fully, and to explore in the following context. The Gemara discusses the status of Kofar B'Pikadon in particular, and a little bit Shaleach Yad, towards the end of the Masechta. Okay, so let's just read it quickly, and then we'll Daniel, Sina, right? Oh, not Daniel. Daniel is Aaron Sina. Okay. See, that's why I have to keep working on the... if you could just run through the Gemara for us quickly. Not so quickly, but it's very important. Two very important Shaka Vitarias, one in Kuvav, Amud Beis. Aaron, right? One in Kuvav Amud Beis, and one on... I'm sorry, one in Kuvav Amud Beis, and one in Kuvav Zayin Amud Beis. Omar Av Sheshes. Okay. A kofar bikadon, right? Nasal of Gazlan, v'chay ba'onsen. So already immediately, the language of the Gemara bears comment. Namely? Yeah, the Gemara says he's a Gazlan, and it says he's chay ba'onsen. So the Gemara is saying two things or one thing? And is the Gemara missing anything? I mean, the expression Nasa Ola of Gazlan is a little bit verbose. The Gemara doesn't say Areza Gzela, right? Or even Areza Gazlan. The Gemara says Nasa Ola of Gazlan. Again, it could be nothing. It's hard to know when to be Medayik in Lashonos of Torah Shabbal Peh. Right? I mean, it wasn't meant to be written down to begin with. But you always wonder when you have a kind of a funny or a little bit of a, you know, verbose formulation, whether or not there's something going on here. Obviously, that alone wouldn't be grounds to conclude anything, but it's something to grab our attention. Nasa Olav Gazlan is more than saying Hareu Gazlan. It's more than saying Hareu Gzeilin. Then it's followed the Chayib Onsin. It says the Chayib Onsin, that's a way of saying, then don't think this isn't the full-fledged Gzeila it is. It's Chayib Onsin. Or are we saying it's Nasa Olav Gazlan and it's Chayib Onsin, but something else is missing? Right? We just don't know. But reading the Gemara, we're wondering whether or not this extra detail is because in Ochanami, our original diuk about Nasal of Gaza was correct. There's something afoot, right? Or it's to deny that. And is there something else, like what's missing? What about Kinyanin? Only Nasa Olav Gazan B'chayi Bonsin? What about other dinim of Gzela? For example, what will be the halacha, Kofer Pikadon, L'inim Shinu Ikonim? Gemara doesn't speak about it. What will be the halacha, Kofer Pikadon? We now are in a stronger position to even raise these questions because we have other cases in which we know that these permutations exist. So we can ask, what about Shinu Ikonim, thinking about the sugya of Shol Shalom Midas? We can ask the question, what about Dmei Schirus? Okay, Kofer Pikadon, and then you use the chayfets afterwards. Do you pay Dmei Schirus, or is that... A regular Gazan doesn't pay Dmei Schirus. Right. What about Kofer Pikadon, L'inyan Niske Mamo? Right. Okay. So these are all legitimate questions to raise, especially since the Gemara says... Chayib Onsin. Okay, what does Rashi say on this? Nasal of Gazlan. First of all, Rashi says Mishas Kfira, that in itself is interesting. What is he precluding? Yeah, he's saying, and what as opposed to what? What might one have thought? Nasa l'gazla mishas kfira. I mean, it's interesting that Rashi feels the need to say that. As opposed to... What other shah? What else? I mean, kofer pikadon nasa l'gazla b'chayi ba'omsin. Of course mishas kfira. What else would it be? Well, there could be two other candidates. The question is, mishas onsin? Until the onsen takes place, no harm done, and he's not a Gazlan? Not so likely. What's the other option? No, not necessarily. I mean, that's shlichus yad, you know, the machshava kind of. But what about for the time of the hafkada, the mafreya? Well, when we say, the goy milsa the mafreya. Because the problem of Kofer Pikadon being a Gazlan, as we know, is that it's Betei Ros Al Yado. And unlike even Shlichus Yad and Shol Shalom Midas, right, Bipashtus, Kofer Pikadon doesn't have to do anything. Right, he just makes his Kfira. His Makhish, the object, he never touched the object. So where's the act of Zela here? So one could have thought that if he renounces his shmira by being a Gazlan, then going milsul mafreya that the lekicha sachefetz is the act of gzeila. Rashi is saying that's not so. Rashi is saying mishas kfira. Okay, v'yafalpi shelo nishba. We'll see in a moment there are other days in the Gemara that think that kofer pikadon is nothing without a shrua. Go ahead. So this is an interesting little Rashi. What's not so clear in Rashi? Right. Number one, the questions that we raised before, we're not sure, because Rashi certainly is emphasizing the Chiyuv Onsin part. Right? Is he limiting to that? Secondly, what will happen for Shomer Chinam, let's say it wasn't onsen. Let's say it was a pshia. Would it be chayv b'toras shomer? Or would it be chayv b'toras gazel? So he, on the one hand, he says, "Mikan ve'eloch ein lo din shomrchina elachayv ba'onsin imeyones." So it sounds like what he's saying is that there's a tartan sasri between shmira and even the gzela of a kofar b'pikado. And the second that you are gazan, you're no longer a shomer. And therefore, even something common with your previous status of shomer would only be midin gzela and not be midin shomer. But it's not 100% clear. That's one could read Rashi a little differently. You could say that Rashi means is mikan ve'elach ein lo din de shomer means shomer chinam, meaning he's not only a shomer chinam, and therefore, you know, the expansions beyond shomer chinam he'll now be chayev for b'toras gazlan. But in a chinam he wears two hats. He's a shomer chinam and a gazlan. I'm inclined to think, I think it was what you said, which is the first pshat. It sounds like that in the first pshat, but again, Rashi's comment raises the question whether that's really true. Right? Well, the chiv onsin here, if not for Rashi, at least for anyone else, is there a stira between being a shomer and being a gazlan? In general, it's a question. Specifically, the gzela of kofar pikadon, when again, he hasn't done anything. It's valiyada b'heteron, he has yet to do anything physical that changes the pikadon. Okay. So I think that this is an open question within Rashi, although I too am inclined from the language to read it the way that you did. And okay, but it remains a question. Okay, go ahead. V'tana tuna. It sounds like b'matzia. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. So this is a very interesting Gemara too. Aaron, why? The Gemara here seems to characterize, well, what's this Azhara? What's this Onesh? What is the onus here? What is the onus referred to? Not really. Look at Rashi. V'chichesh ba'alamadnu le'onesh. Read that. So what is it? The Chiv Onsin. So this is a very interesting thing. This would be a good, the Nesivs didn't quote it, but this Gemara, as certainly as understood by Rashi, simple reading of the Gemara seems to be calling, not even the Chiv Ashava, but the Chiv Onsin of Kofar, but Bikadon here is called an Onesh. If you look at Tosis, just look at it very quickly, Aaron, if you don't mind. My love, the Onish Mamon. We have a rule in real onshin, corporal onshin, right? Ein onshin elam kein mazir. How do you know such a thing applies to Mamonis? Go ahead, Bishloma. So we have precedent for such a thing, but how do you know that in Dine Mamonis there is such a concept? So I think this is a very interesting issue that Tosis raises, that one might have been mechalek between Onshe Mamon and Onshe Iser. Tosis could have easily asked the question in a different way, and that is, why is the Gemara calling this Onesh, meaning why do you need an Azara for the Onesh of Chiv Achrayas? It's not really an Onesh at all. It's part of the Chiyuve Gzela. And it would especially be true if it was part of, or an aspect of, Kinyane Gzela. It just means that the earthquake happened to me. The flood happened to me. Right? It's my property that got destroyed, so of course I'm the one who bears the burden of it. Why is that an onesh? So again, I think this Gemara is points in a certain direction about chiyuv onsin, one which the Nesivas, although he doesn't quote it, might be very comfortable with. Yeah.
I mean, it could be that the chiddush is that the kovur chadon is, if we're going to take make this deep, or at least
it might be limited to kovur chadon.
It might say that the chiyuv onsin stam is not a good.
Yeah, it could be. Again, and that would, if you say that, then it would build up the other side of our sugya, which is it possible that kofar b'pikadon isn't really a full-fledged gazlan? Therefore, dafka in kofar b'pikadon, you view onsim as an onesh, because it's really lacking kinyanim. And why is it lacking kinyanim? Again, because he never touched the chayfats. It's lacking chiyuve gzela too, because he never really touched, maybe, as Reb Chaim explains. Reb Chaim understood that Paraktes Halacha Aleph and elsewhere, that the obligation to pay, right, chiyuve onsin, are a result of the what he calls the mazik side of gzela. But where's the mazik side of gzela if you never touch it? All you did was you were makhish. So this formulation of onsin as an onesh, according to the Sivas, might be a general idea. And for others, maybe is limited to kofar pikadon, accenting that kofar pikadon indeed is a very precarious kind of gzela. Okay, let's continue for a moment. Go ahead. The Gemara isn't sure about this whole thing. The sefer d'ishtaba. Oh. So the Gemara thinks it still has a raya that the azhara is a reference to onesh mamon. Omri idividi d'ishtaba. Kan shahoda, go ahead. Kan shavoidim. Also edim. Chai bonsin. Okay. Karen v'chomish is not our topic. Asham is not our topic at the moment. Maybe we'll get to it in the end of the year, some of these issues, etc. Okay, let's continue just a little more. Masav Ron Bar Chama. Meaning, if it's really true, so now the Gemara seems to be challenging, and this is important too. Okay, so far we have very interesting things in this Gemara, right? Number one, the formulation of Nasa Lav Gazlin, the Chayiv Ba'onsin. We're not sure how limiting that is in this type of Zela. We have the issue that Rashi raises, namely, is there an exclusion of Shomer, or is it only an expansion beyond Dine Shmira, but he still remains a Shomer Le'inyan those Chiyuvim? Right? We have a third issue, and that is that the Gemara calls Chayiv Onsin in this context Onesh, and we're not sure whether that's a general halacha or limited to Kofar Pikadon, because, again, of this unique status. And now the Gemara is challenging whether Kofar Pikadon may not be a Gazlin or Chayiv Onsin at all. Maybe the only time that you're really ever Chayiv Onsin or are a Gazlin, or one or the other at least, is in the circumstance of Shavua. Meaning the whole Kofar Pikadon Gazlin itself is being challenged. Okay, go ahead. Because after all, the Gemara seems to say that the only time you're Chashin Ola Shavua is if you are Nijba L'Sheker, right? And if Kofar Pikadon, B'li Shvua, made you into a Gazan, you should be possible to Shvua without. Go ahead, Amar? Omri, rather?
Omri, how can you ask? You know, the Kofar Pikadon, I love
Kofar. Savar?
Savar,
Ashamit, Nolai, Ada, Zona. Umay, Sinolai. Okay, Sin in the Agam, and therefore he's just procrastinating. He's playing for time. Here's a bit of the chiddush in this Gemara too, that the Gemara applies ishtamute kamishtame to pikadon, but it's not much of a chiddush. Basically, the Gemara is asking, what's interesting about this Gemara in general, Masavar and Bar Chama, is the Gemara is assuming that if kofar b'pikadon is a gazlan and he's chay ba'onsin, then he's certainly possibly yedus. Right? The Gemara's answer is, he's not pasul edus because he's shtamute kol mishtame. So it's an interesting issue. To what extent is psul edus really depend formally, legally on the shem gazlan, or is it something else? Especially in this direction. If somebody is a shtamute kol mishtame, the Gemara seems to be saying that he is not psul edus. Does that really mean that he's not a gazlan? Or does it just mean that he's not psul edus? So we'll see, from the continuation of the Gemara, it would appear that ishtamute kam ishtamet, and therefore the definition of psul edus, also determines with regard to chiyav onsen. But in theory, one could have disagreed, and Rabbi Kiveger, in Shulchan Aruch, and it's quoted in the Frankel Rambam, I'll get to it in a second, also raises this question. He says he doesn't understand why ishtamute kam ishtamet couldn't be just a din in psul edus and nothing more. Okay, but we'll see in a moment that the Gemara seems to apply it to more. On the other hand, it isn't so bad to link, since the Gemara is now saying psul edus, does this have any bearing on our main question, which is kofar pikadon, despite a teiras liyado, despite not touching it, despite everything else that we've seen in terms of how tentative it is, is it a full-fledged gzela or not? Does the fact that you're psul edus, does that prove that it's a full-fledged gzela? Not necessarily. Right? One still might say that psul edus depends on the shame gabra gazlan. V'hayin bin akos harasha is what's koveil gabe psul edus. So even if it's not a full-fledged maisa gzela with kinyanim, the fact that he is a gavra nasal of gazlan, the fact that he's a gavra gazlan, may be enough for psul edus. So again, even though the Gemara is expanding chiyuv onsen nasal of gazlan psul edus, it could be that it's not much of an expansion. Okay, go ahead, Teda. Milva. Okay. So this is to show you that when, what's the difference? That that milva is always ishtamute kam ishtamet, and that's the reason why, even though you violate oshek maybe, nonetheless, there's no psul edus. So too, even if kofar pikadon is a gazlan gamor, it's possible that there won't be a psul edus because of ishtamute kam ishtamet. In a case of ishtamute kam ishtamet. Okay, go ahead. Va'amar ilfa. So this, I think, is very interesting. So then the Gemara changes directions a little bit. This whole Shach of Atari, every line is interesting. The Gemara says, but didn't Ilfa say that only Shvuah's Kone, Shvuah de Kanya, Abakvir lo Kanya? So here, for the first time, the Gemara seems to be projecting that if Kofar v'Pikadon is Nasel of Gazlan v'Chayev v'Onsin, that that's the equivalent to saying Kone. Because the Gemara is saying, but don't we know that only Kofar v'Shvuah's Kone? One could simply answer, yeah, but we're not talking about being Kona, we're talking about being Nasil of Gazlan, Psule Edos, Chiyuv Onsin, Shein Gazlan Begavra. Who said anything about being Kona? The statement of Ilfa is, if you have a Shvua, that's a real Maisig Zela, Ide Shvua, and that's also a Kenya. Right. But the Gemara doesn't give that answer immediately. The Gemara says, Hachanami, the Kaima Ba'agam. So we see from there, that's what I meant before, which was the Gemara said that ishtamute kam ishtamet is a din to establish that he is not pasul le'edos. But does ishtamute kam ishtamet bear any significance in terms of chiyuv onsen? So here the Gemara seems to be saying yes. Achanami de kaima, according to this day in the Gemara says kaima ba'agam, which is ishtamute kam ishtamet, affects kinyan. Rashi says about kinyan, by the way. What does kinyan mean here? Aaron? Shvua kona, kasol ganaitach? Yeah, Rashi also was aware that all of a sudden the Gemara is talking about kinyan, when previously the Gemara was talking about chiyuv onsen. So Rashi tries to align them. Rashi says, don't think that Chiyuv Onsen is always the equivalent of Kinyan. Kinyan here means L'inyan Chiyuv Onsen. One could have said that what it really shows is that Kofar Pikadon, if it's Nasal of Gazan B'chayiv Onsen, then that's Midin Kinyanim, then that is Kinyan completely. L'inyan Shinui Kone, L'inyan Sirus, L'inyan Nizke Mamon, everything. Rashi seems to be avoiding that. Rashi is restricting Kone B'Shvua rather than expanding Kofar B'Pikadon. At least that's what it seems to me. But either way, the Gemara seems to be saying, Hachanami, the Kaima Ba'agam, that Kofar Pikadom, the Kaima Ba'agam, not only has effect on Psuleidus, but has effect on Chiyuv Onsen as well. Rabbi Kiveger is saying, I think originally it's in Shulchan Aruch, but he has it here on the Frankel Rambam, in Paragim HaLachi Aleph, he raised the following suffix. He says, in Kofar Pikadom, Bekaima ba'agam, where there's no ishtamute. Okay? But so you know the guy has access. But it's kaima ba'agam, but it's not in his rishus at the moment. It's not in his chatzah. Are you chayev or not? So Rikvega's question is, he says like this, maybe it should be lo gara mi gazlan ragil, a regular gzela. A regular gzela requires a kinyan. Right, so Kofar Pikadon is not doing anything. But at least the Chayfetz, in a classical case of Kofar Pikadon, is Birshuso. So since the Chayfetz is sitting Birshuso, so that's the Kenyan. Or no, do we say Kofar Pikadon, the Chiddush of Kofar Pikadon, Nasal of Gazal, even though it's Meteor El Soliano, even though there's no Maisa, does that mean that it doesn't even have to be B'makom Shiesh Lo Kenyan? When the Gemara says, Ibayisema, the Kaima Ba'agam, is that just the problem of Ishtamute Kamishtamet? Or is the Gemara saying, at minimum, you still require a Kinyonim? That's Rabbi Kiveger here. Again, I have it on the Frankel Rambam, Paragimel, Halakha, Yudalit, I'm sorry. Did I say Yudalit? It's Yudalit. Yudgimel. Yud. Oh. Look, it's Gzela, of course. Per Gimel, Halacha Yud Dalet. A Kofar Pikadon the Bezin Rambam says, Im Hayah Bershuso Be'ez Shekofar Nasa Alav Gazlin V'chayiv Ba'onsav. So Rambam codifies this Halacha. He says, Im Hayah Bershuso Be'ez Shekofar Nasa Alav Gazlin V'chayiv Ba'onsav. These words, Im Hayah Bershuso Be'ez Shekofar, is based on this line in the Gemara, Yiboyseima, the Kaima Ba'agam. We should also note that the Rambam, we'll get this in a second, quotes Rav Sheshes precisely. Nasa Olav Gazlan, right, which we said was a bit of an interesting formulation, the Chayev Ba'onsa. That he quotes Rav Sheshes lock, stock, and barrel seems to be significant. Why quote it? Kind of a peculiar formulation when you're writing the halachos down. Okay. But anyways, he has birshuso. So Rabbi Kiveger comments on that. Nistapakti in b'shasa kfir lo haya birshuso. U'be'inin de lo shayich ishtamute v'ashomer v'apikadon haya ba'agam. This is right there. He's in the agam with the animal. There's no ishtamute. V'kofar m'chaya ba'onsen. V'yashomer de kfira lo arif migazal mamish. The below ma'isa kinyan lo kam b'shusa l'chiyav onsen. Rakel inim psul tzorch shiyah b'inan b'inyan kol shayich ishtamute. U'milishna the sugya mashma the gam linim chiyav onsen the kaima ba'agam b'inan kol shayich ishtamute. Abel asfar tzorch shiyah. So basically, the Rabbi Kiveger is too important to Aros here. Number one, he says what I said before, which is that one might have thought that Ishtamute Kamishtamed is only a din in Psuleidus. That's a din of Rishas Hagavra. But as for Maisa Gzela and even Shame Gazlan, not Psuleidus, who cares whether Ishtamute Kamishtamed or not? The fact is that you're Kofar B'Pikadon. And that's Nasal of Gazlan. from this, at least one day in the Gemara, which the Rambam codifies, it appears that this is not correct. That ishtamute kam ishtamet is a factor in the chiyuv onsen of Gneva as well, not just in psulei edus. He says, but I don't know why. He says, it's arachi and that's var. So this is an inami in the Gemara, which we'll see in a second. So one didn't have to conclude that lahalacha. But then the other point of Rabbi Kiv Eger is even more interesting. And that is, to what extent does Kofar Pikadon have to comply with normal dinim? It's one thing to say that we're pushing the envelope with this Kofar Pikadon, as I said. But at least you should require, if you don't require Maisa Kinyan, at least let it be Bechatzero, Bershuso. So if you can eliminate the Ishtamute, will there still be a Chisaron Mitzad Kinyanim or not? But I think that's very relevant to our question. How do we understand Kofar the Bikadon? Is the Maisa Kfira, is the Maisa Gzela, but at least it should be a B'makom Kinyan? Or no, it's a gzela of a shomer. It's a totally different category. Right? It's a din in the gavra, it's a din in chiyuvim, maybe it's a din in onshim. You don't need kinyanim like you need in a regular gazlan, because even the chiyuv onsin here are midin onesh, al yidei kfiraso, and not so much midin kinyanim, even the limited kinyanim, or chiyuvim. There is no ma'is gzela. No ma'is gzela, no need for kinyan either. Totally different category, totally different parsha. So I think Rabbi Kivager's question is very, very important. Okay, let's continue with the Gemara for a second. Okay, so this is a very interesting halacha, but not for us right now. And that is this idea that, the shvua itself is a kind of a tashlumin, or he's at least discharged his obligation vis-a-vis the nignav, and that's what the Gemara means, that when there's, even if it's a shvua sheker, right, there's no chiyuv mamon that follows it. But according to the inami, one could have theoretically dropped ishtamute kam ishtamet, or agam, as a factor in kofar b'pikado, number one. Number two, if that's what shvua means, it's possible to say that maybe there's a fundamental difference between shvua and kofar b'pikado. Not just that some people believe that kofar b'pikado without a shvua is not chayiv, but that even if kofar b'pikado is chayiv, ein adome kofar b'pikado and kofar al yidei shvua. In one case, it's a shame gazlan and maybe chiyuve onsin, maybe even as an onesh. In the other case, it's real kinyan. Maybe the shvua is a real maisik zela. Okay. In any case, that is the question. I say we're left with wondering about certain things. What about shinikona? What about tzchirus? What about niske mamon? Rabbi Kivager's question. What about the link to Shavua? As far as the link to Shavua, we'll get back to that also in a second when we discuss the other Gemara, the Gemara in Kuf Zayin, Amud Beis. Okay. So in light of all this, one should turn just very briefly also to the Rashi in Sanhedrin. Okay. What is the Daniel? You're there. But Daniel? Right? Okay. So, trying to learn from my mistakes. Aaron? Rashi and Sanhedrin, did you get a chance to look at it? No? Oh, okay. David?
I understand.
Yossi? Donnie? Ariel? Jonathan? Sorry? Famous Rashi. Mishnah's talking about?
How many judges you need.
How many judges and what kind of, what quality judges you need for various things. So you need Gimel for Dinei Mamanis. But you need, can you get away with the Adyotos, or do you need Mumches? Right? So Gzelos, that's the question. So there's Hodos, Vahavos, Gzelos, Vahavalos, etc. So Rashi's trying to explain what is Gzelos as opposed to Hodos, Vahavos. So what is Rashi saying? Okay. Oh. Kofar b'pikadon, says Rashi. De misha shalach ba'yad. Chayev ba'odse. Right? Or konale l'schayev. I have that. Have a gazlin. Well, that's right. That part we understand. Okay. Kofar b'pikadon. De misha shalach ba'yad. Have a gazlin. Oh, you're right. Sorry. De chena chotek miyad chavero. Have a gazlin. Kogom v'yigzos achanis miyad amitri. This is all contrasted with Avalova Avalo Shilaim, Lo Mikri Gazlan, the Milva Lo Tzadik. So this is a very difficult Rashi. Rashi here combines Kofar Pikadon and Shaleach Yad. So there are some Rishonim who had the Girsa, Inami, as they read it like this, and some Achronim as well. Kofar Pikadon, Inami, Shalach Boyad, have a gazlin, either kofar b'kadon or shlichus yad, either of those would be in the category of a gazlin. That's how some achronim, Red Rashi, some Rishonim seem to have that girsa inami. If you look in the, you know, the Rimul Nil and the Riyal Madri, all those parts, you know, those black books, you know, the Sanhedrin Gedola series. So you'll see a bunch of them have those girsas. Okay, that takes all the. You know, the interest out of the Rashi. Okay. So we're assuming, and the Rashi and the Rif also reads the way Rashi does here, that Rashi meant it. Kofar b'kadon dim misha shalach b'yad. So the question is, Kofar b'kadon is already a gazlan, nasal of gazlan, or is a chayiv onsin. So what's going on? Shlichus yad is also chayiv in its own right. The shlichus yad question is, I think, a more serious question in a way, but let's get to the kofar b'kadon part of it anyways. So what's going on with the kofar b'kadon? So number one, it's interesting, if you look at the Chiddush Anshei Hashem in Sanhedrin, he says, why did Rashi need this at all? Kofar b'kadon and shalach b'yad. He's anyways telling you the classical case, v'yigzol achanis miyad amitzri. So why not stick with the classical case? So he says, Avagav d'chotek mikri tfei gazlin, mikofar b'kadon, mikomokom pirsh Rashi t'chila, and a kofar b'kadon, d'ikar yalfusa b'gemar, d'binan, Gimel Nafka Mimadiksid Parsha to cover Pikada. Because the Parsha, the Gimel Elohims, all that is a Mishpatim, in the context of Kofar Pikadon. So therefore, Rashi says it. But what's interesting about the Chidushe Anshei Hashem is this formulation. Afagav de Chotep Mikri Tfei Gazlan mi Kofar Pikadon. What do you mean Tfei Gazlan? We said that Kofar Pikadon is Chayiv. Nasal of Gazan, v'chayiv onsin. It sounds like Kiddush Anshei Hashem is saying that Rashi here says what he says, even though we're talking about an inferior Gzela, qualitatively lesser form of Gzela. But nonetheless, since this is the Makar, so the Din of Gzelos v'chavalos applies even to this lesser form of Gzela. He doesn't explain what makes it a lesser form of Gzela. But it seems obvious, it's no Maisa Gzela, it's Bete Ras Aliado, all the things that we've noted. The Rav thought that the Pshat and Rashi was as follows. He said, basically, Rashi is trying to explain, not whether or not, objectively, who is a Gazlan. Rashi is trying to explain who is a Gazlan, Le'inyan, the difference between Hodos Vavos and Gzelos L'Chavolos. So he says, listen, Kofar v'Pikadon, right? So he originally was a shomer. Shomer is in the category of hodos v'halvos. So, has that changed or not? So that's why Rashi says, kofar b'pikadon demisha shalach v'ya. Why? Because the Rav argued that if you read Rav Sheshas exactly as we read him before, because we tried to show it not only from the language of Rav Sheshas, but from, you know, Rabbi Kibeger Safek, the fact that it's called Onesh in the Gemara, the question whether or not we equate it fully to Shvua, Kona, right? Namely, the fact is that Rav Sheshet said Nasal of Gazlin v'chayiv Onsin. He didn't say that it's Gzela Gemura. He didn't say anything about Kinyanim. Maybe if you have Kofar Bikadon without Shlichus Yad, maybe all you have is a Shem Gazlin and Chiyuve Gzela, but you don't have Kinyanim. So what? Without Kinyanim, you remain a Shomer. That's why I emphasized the Rashi formulation so much in Bava Kamma. Again, I don't know if the Rav did or didn't, but my recollection, he didn't really zero in on that. But what does Rashi say there? That Le'inyan Chiyuv Onsin, right? You're a Gazlin. My instinct and Aaron's as well was that he was saying, even L'inyan Pshia, you're a Gazlin. Meaning, once that you are a Kofar Pikadon, you're no longer. Once you're Kofar Pikadon, you're no longer a Shomer. This tarted sasir between Gzela, even of Kofar Pikadon, and Shmira. But it's not Muchrach to read Rashi that way. One could, or not Rashi, someone else, you could say, really there are. All we're really trying to say is that as a Shomer, in case of Tanis Ganef or whatever, you're more limited. Right? If you're a Shomer Chinam, you're only chayiv b'pshia. Now that you're a gazlan, you'll be chayiv more. So le'inyan hodos v'alvos, just one second, hodos v'alvos, gzelos v'chavalos, maybe, this is the Rav's suggestion, maybe Rashi and Sanhedrin is saying, we need to find something where not only is there chayiv onsin, but there are also kinyane gzela. Because only kinyane gzela are a stira to shmira. And only when you have a stira to shmira do you really explain gzelos v'chavalos. So that's why Rashi says, Kofar Pikadon to Misha Shalach Bayan. Now, why isn't Shlichus Yad alone sufficient? I don't recall the Rav discussing that question, but I think, based on the Chidush Anshei Hashem, that we might have an easy answer. And that is, well, the Parsha is really talking about Kofar Pikadon. So even if Shalach God stands on its own, I think it's an open question here. But even if it does, it's still Kofar Bikadon Mishashalach Bayad. Of course, if you were to say that Kofar Bikadon alone is only Chiyuvim, and even Shalach Yad alone is not full Kinyanim, and it's the combination of Kofar Bikadon Shalach Yad that creates full Kinyanim, then that certainly would explain this as well. Just one more second. I always thought that one could say, just go a bit further for the Rashi. Let me just explain it this way. And that would be to explain as follows. It's not just that Rashi and the Mishnah are interested in cases where, you know, you no longer have Dinei Shmira, and therefore, because the stira between Gneva and Shmira, and therefore, you know, you have to have a certain level of Gzela in order to qualify for Gzelas V'Chavalas. I always thought that one could take it a step further. Those who are here, we learned Sanhedrin, will recall we discussed this then. And that is that Gzelas V'Chavalas, as opposed to Hodas V'Chavalas, is a different kind of, or requires a different kind of bezdin. Hodos v'havos, and this is also based on something the Rav used to say, just not, wasn't applying it this way to this Rashi. Hodos v'havos is basically hischaivos midas. Namely, the idea is that bezdin presides over implementing and executing your own commitment. That's what hodos v'havos are. A freely entered into obligation, right? Whether it be hoda or hava, or pikadon, and Bezin is just presiding over, implementing it, executing it, making sure that your commitment is carried forward. The reason that you pay is because of your commitment, not because of Bezin. On the other hand, this is sharply contrasted with knossos, right? Knossos may very well be, and we'll get to that when we discuss kefil dal dehekashas amad bedin. And it comes up again in, of course, Modeh B'Knas being Potter, Asher Yashiv Elokim V'lo Marshiyas Atzmo. It's quite possible that Knossos are created by Bezdin. It's the famous formulation of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We'll discuss it when we get to it. Makos of Heim and Beis, and has roots in the Gemara's on the Rishonim. In between the idea of Knossos, which is created by Bezdin, it doesn't really correspond to anything. Right, you didn't do anything that warrants this. It's a punishment. It's a penalty. It's beyond the correspondence. In between that and Chayvus Midas, is gzeilos v'chabalos, which are kind of onshei mamon. They're not as chayvus midas, but there is a correspondence between what you did and what you're being charged for. Bezdin's role in that context is not merely to preside and to implement your ischaivus, but it's also not to completely create. That's gzeilos v'chabalos. Bezdin has a role in, but isn't the complete or sole creator of Iris Chiyuvim. So if that's true, it's quite possible that what qualifies gzeilos v'chabalos is precisely the fact that there are kinyanim. In other words, if all you have is chiyuv gzeila and the obligations b'toris mazik, let's say, so it's possible that that's like hodos v'alvos. It isn't ischaivus midas, but it's close to, it's quid pro quo. It's like mazik. The Rambam also seems to imply that gzeilos v'chavalos, in some respects, is closer to knossos. Rambam sometimes uses that formulation, both in Uchos Gzeila and in Perikei of Hilchos Sanhedrin, when he talks about these halachas. So maybe for that reason as well, not just because, you know, that the Rav was saying, you need kinyanei gzeila here, chiyuvim aren't enough, because otherwise there's still a shame shomer. What I'm suggesting is, even if there's no shame shomer, once you have the shame gazlan and the chiyuvim. But we should always remember what the context of that sugya in Sanhedrin is. It's gzeilos v'chavalos, which are halfway, you know, on the way to being knasos. Namely, there's bezdin as a mechayiv. There's a partial mechayiv. And that still may be true only when you have kinyanei gzeila, as opposed to, even if it isn't schayvus midas, but this is something that flows quid pro quo from your maisa as a kind of a mazik. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go further in the on the other, in the opposite direction in Gemara in Brikadon, and understand that it's the chiyuv onsim. You're saying that it's you have a shomer, you're still a shomer chinam, but you have in addition the added element of.
I'm saying one could say that. Right. And the Rav is saying that in the Rashi and Sanhedrin.
You could say that you're really just a shomer, and you're just adjusting your level of chiyuv.
Yeah, for sure.
In which case,
I think we said that.
It's not even a question of whether or not you can have an element of Gazel and still be a Shomer. You're just a Shomer.
No, 100%. Well, according to the view, that's exactly what we explained for Rabbi Kinegar, right? Rabbi Kinegar's suffix is this Kofar Bikadon, which seems to be inferior to Gzela, can it get away without even the elemental things that Gzela has, namely Kinyanim? Right. So my answer before was, very possibly yes, because it's not a form of, it's a chiddush that we call him a gazan, it's a chiddush and an onish that we impose upon him, dine gzeila, and basically this is an extension of his status as an abusive shomer. Not that he's really a gazan. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
If that's true, then it's certainly not a stira to shmira. We would certainly understand why kofar bikadon is not enough to qualify for gzeilos v'chavalos, 100%. That's what I was exactly was saying for Rabbi Kinegar. Okay, so I'm just taking it a step further than the Rav, in which case the issue isn't, the overlap. For example, the overlap according to the Rav would be, you have the following case also. Let's say v'chiv onsin. So b'toras onsin, kofar b'kadon also would be gzeilos v'chavalos. It's just that, you know, whatever. Maybe chiyuv gneiva maveda for a shomer sachar or posheya for a shomer chinam, that would remain hodos v'havos. Whereas, of course, what I'm suggesting, it's more than that. Even the chiyuv onsin, very possibly, wouldn't qualify as gzeilos v'chavalos in the case of kofar pikadon belish lichus yad. This idea that the kofar bikadon may really be lacking in kinyanei gzeila, or even more so, in light of Rabbi Kinegar's safek, etc., that he may be just a shomer, and these are just dinim, he's a gazlan, he's chayiv ba'onsin, he's an onesh. I think flow from the language of the Rambam, as I mentioned before, who quotes Rav Sheshes precisely, but it's more than that. If we contrast the Rambam in Sholeach Yad with the Rambam in go for pikadon, which I think the Rav did as well. Again, it's been a few years, but I believe he did that. Rav in Halachi Dalet says, I go for pikadon mebezdin, imayi b'shuso b'esher kapar, nasa alav gazlan, v'chaya ba'omso. When he talks about shaleach yad in Halachi Dalet, ha-shaleach yad b'pikadon, b'en shaleach yad b'atzmo, b'no, avdo, shlucho, ha-reza gazlan. Number one, he doesn't say nasa alav gazlan, he says ha-reza gazlan. Which, by the way, is his formulation also for Shol Shalomidas in Halacha Tesvav. Hashol Shalomidas Abaylim, Hareze Gazlan. Okay. Here also, Hareze Gazlan, not Nasel of Gazlan. But then he says, V'nischayim ba'omsav, V'nasis ha'gzela birshuso, kedin kol ha'gazlan. So when it comes to Shaleach Yad, the Ram adds the words, V'nasis ha'gzela birshuso, kedin kol ha'gazlan. So it sounds to me like the Rambam really has three levels. Again, we might be fine-tuning it too much. I don't know. Shaleach Yad, he's saying, you know, even though it's Beteiras Aliyado, right? Not only are you a Gazlin, not only are you Chayiv Ba'onsin, but it's also Hareu Biyado Bershuso, meaning Chayiv Onsin isn't that. Meaning it has Kinyanim, like anyone else, even though it's a context of Shmira, even though it's a Teras Eliyado, even though Shlichus Yad isn't exactly conform with Gzela, even as a Maisa fully, nonetheless, the Dinim of Shlichus Yad have Kinyane Gzela as well. Shol Shalomidas, Hareze Gazlan, and Yechai Bonson. But he doesn't say anything about Kinyane. Maybe he holds like that, Ravid, that there are no Kinyane. It's hard to know. And then comes called for Bikadon, where he says Nasal of Gazlan, the Chayev Ba'onsin, and where it depends on Ishtamute Kam Ishtamet, or on Rishuso, hard to know which of these. Okay, so I think the Rambam works out very nicely in that regard. If this is true, then we should move to the next Gemara, which is the Gemara in Kuf Zayin on the base. Daniel, you have that? No mind. I mean, I finished this, but also an interesting Shaka Vataria. let's start from over there. Earlier, over there, Abchia Baraba, Bachar Rabbi Yochav. No. The lines before that. Amr Abchir Bar Yosef. The Amr Abchir Bar Yosef, you have it? Toin Tainas Ganav Pipikadon? Oh, let's go again. What does this mean? Here the Gemara is talking about another very fascinating case. Right? And here it's not just Gzela, it's Gneva. Toin Tanas Ganav. The questions are similar. Again, the rules may differ, but again, this is an unconventional, unorthodox Gneva. It's the only Gneva where there's no Maisa Nesina Mershus, Maisa Hotza Mershus Abaylin, right? It's the exploitation of Taina's Gneva, right, to steal. And that's called Toin Taina's Ganev, and what are its rules? And again, we can ask the question, is this a Shomer Halacha? It's developed mostly, as are the others, in Hilchos, except for Shuas HaPikadon, in Hilchos Geneva, and the others in Hilchos Gezela. But it's still a legitimate question, both for the Rambam and for others. Is this primarily a Shomer Halacha? Right? Or is it a Geneva Halacha, given the context, given all the factors, etc. Good. So, HaToin Tanas Ganav HaPikadon, one day in the Gemara thinks that Tainas Ganav alone is not enough. You need, in addition to that, Shlichus Yad. Why? I would say, why? Daniel? Yeah, because Beteras El Yadon, there's no Maisa, so a Taina Bialma is not going to get you a Gneva. So you have to have a combination, at least, of Shlichus Yad. The Shlichus Yad is some sort of a Maisa. So you combine that Maisa with the exploitation of the Taina's Gneva, and that at least gives you the Gneva. But again, it already sensitizes us. We don't pass in this way. But, you know, obviously, Toin Tanis Ganav is not so obvious, you know, when you consider that the Gemara thought that you have to combine it with Shlichus Yad. Okay. Go ahead. My time, huh? Oh. Okay. So that's the marker. Good. Lememra.
So, Lememra.
Vayad Askinan. Okay. Meaning? No, you don't need Shlichus Yad. Okay. So these are 2 days in the Gemara. Toin Tanis Ganav needs or doesn't need Shlichus Yad. So far it's important for sensitizing us that Toin Tanis Ganav is not so simple. And if it does work, either in its own right, Tanis Ganav is a full Maisa Gneva of some sort, or we don't need it to be because it works, it's really a din shmira, it's the abuse of a shomer. Okay, good. So far. Amalei Rav Zeira, Rav Chiya bar Abba. Yeah, meaning? If you have Shalach Bayad and then you have Shvua, is that certainly going to be Toin Tanis Ganav, even though you don't need it? Or will Shalach Bayad Kono Shvua Lo Mahani Beklo? Right? That's the question. Now, this question could be a question about Shlichus Yad, or it could be a question about Toin Tanis Ganav, or both. It's hard to know. Again, on the Shlichus Yad side of it, is the Gemara wondering here whether or not a Shalach Yad is a Ganav or a Gazlan Gamur, such that it's his Chafetz? Once it's his Chafetz, there's no... Toin Tanis Ganav is an act of Gneva. It can't be a Ganav once he's already a Gazlan. So the Gemara is wondering here whether Shlichus Yad is full Gzela. Now, in light of our discussion about Kofar, but Pikadur not being a full Gzela, and especially the combination in Rashi, in Sanhedrin, that you need Shalach Bayad and Kofar Pikadur, this becomes an interesting question. All right, we were Madaik in the Rambam, but the Rambam holds that Shlichus Yad is Konilo, Kimo, etc. But even that, right, it doesn't mean that it is, it just means that that's the Chiddush of Shlichus Yad, that we treat it that way. But on some objective level, is there something lacking in the Kinyan of Shlichus Yad? That's one issue. Or, if we say not, then the question is again a Toin Tanis Ganav question. Is it possible, even though normally we would say that Ein Gneva Achar Gzela, that's if you're talking about a Gneva Votsam Rishis Abaylin, a Gneva in a conventional terms. But there's nothing conventional about Gonev Min HaGanav anyway. I'm sorry, there's nothing conventional about Toin Tanis Ganav anyway. Anyway, it's a din of the abuse of a Shomer. Anyways, it's a special halacha. So this special halacha applies even when they're full kenyanim. So the Gemara is not mistapek about Shlichus Yad, how full are the kenyanim. The Gemara is mistapek, how unique is Toin Tanis Ganav, how unorthodox is it, how much of a Shmira halacha is it. Okay. Now this is an interesting case. Again, slowly. Daniel, go ahead. What's the case?
So he
said, Toin Tanis Abad.
So first he claims he lost it. Okay. And then he swears. And then he switches his title and says it was stolen.
Okay.
And then he swears.
Halacha is at Pato. Right. So in a word, if you had to characterize this case based on what we've been discussing, how would you say it? What's another way for saying Toin Tanis Avad? You just want to, you know, get rid of a little of the verbiage. Okay, but what in terms of categories that we know? Just to streamline a little bit. Toin Tanis Avad is another way of saying Kofar Pikado. Right? So here it's Kofar Bikadon V'Nishba. Instead of Sholeach Yad, the Gemara suffix is Sholeach Yad V'Achakach Toin Tanis Ganav. And the Gemara says, I don't know about that case. We don't have any information on that. But we do have, we can extrapolate, maybe we can extrapolate from Kofer Pikadon, V'nishba, V'achakach, Tohen Tan is God. Right? This is going to be interesting. Is it fair to compare Sholeach Yad and Kofer Pikadon? Well, here it's Kofer Pikadon V'nishba. It's also interesting. Now, we had before that even if you hold Kofer Pikadon, he's not a Gazlan, he's Patur. Kofer Pikadon B'Shvua. Not only did the Gemara say that was okay, but Aaron, not only okay, but the Gemara used the language of on the Amud Aleph. I'm just asking you because you read it. I said before the Gemara uses the expression, when the Gemara is talking about Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba, the Gemara said not only Chayiv, even if Kofer B'Pikadon generally is Patur, Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba will be Chayiv. Not only Chayiv, but what Lashon? Kuvav Mud Aleph that you read? Konev. Right, we noted that, right? The Gemara said about Kofer Pikadon, Nasa Gazlin, V'chayiv Onsin, and then the Gemara talked about Shvua, Kofer Pikadon V'Nishba, the Gemara said Konev. And Rashi tried to reduce it to Chayiv Onsin. But the Gemara didn't say Chayiv Onsin, the Gemara there said Konev, right? So it's interesting that now the Gemara is asking, when the Gemara is trying to bring a parallel between Shaleach Yad, it's quoting Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba. Right? What does Rashi say here? Daniel? Is there, Rashi here is very significant, I think. You know, read one more line anyway, and then we'll get the focus. Huh? So the Gemara thinks that what? Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba is Konev. That's similar to the language of the Gemara used before, that Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba is Konev. But what's fascinating is, so this is the Havamina, that both of these, like Shlichus Yad, Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba is a Kenyan. Right? What does Rashi say about it? Go ahead. Oh. Isn't this interesting? What did Rashi do? He brought in something that the Gemara didn't speak about at all. The Gemara is trying to bring a raya. Just stop in a minute. The Gemara is trying to bring a raya that what? That what will happen in Shalech Yad and then Tohen Tan is Ganav? Is there a kinyan and therefore it precludes or excludes Tohen Tan is Ganav or not? And we said it's either a question about Shlichus Yad's kinyanim or Tohen Tan is Ganav, how Shomer, how Gneva, or both. Fine. So the Gemara says we don't have any information. We do have information about the following case: Kofer B'Pikadon V'Nishba. And there, it seems like you are not going to be Chayiv Gneva Veda, probably because you're Konev. And the Gemara uses the language of Konev. So what did Rashi do?
Yeah,
number one, he says it means you're Chayiv Ba'onsin. One would have thought that maybe you need to be more than Chayiv Ba'onsin. Number two. That's Rav Sheshes. He says Rav Sheshes holds this way too. Even though the Gemara's example is Shvua, Rashi says they could have just as easily said Rav Sheshes. Just that not everybody holds like Rav Sheshes. But if you hold like Rav Sheshes, Shvua, the Kofer Pikadon, and Rav Sheshes, Nasal of Gazlan, are the same thing. How do you know that? Well, Rashi, Lishitaso, I think, thinks that they're the same thing. That's what Rashi kind of did on Kuvav Menalim. The Gemara said Kona. And Kofer B'Pikadon B'Shvua, Rashi said, Kone Elenion Chiyav Onsin, instead of taking it further. Here it's even bigger Chiddush, because the Gemara in Mandakar Shemei of Rav Sheshes. Read Rashi quickly. Yeah, Kol Shekein, Kol Alma Mod, I mean, it's, where do you draw the line? Alma, Kim the Kamalei B'Shuse. The Huadim. Yeah. But the truth is, you don't have to read the Gemara this way. One could have said, if it was Rav Sheshes, then no one would have thought, since it's only Chiyuv Onsin, but it's not Kinyanim, right? You can't compare. Maybe then that for sure would be, maybe that coin to Rav Sheshes, it would actually be, it would be Chayiv Tohen Tan is Ganav. I think it's an important Rashi. Okay, we'll see how it all ends up. Keep going, one more line. Amalei.
So Amalei, look.
Totally different reason. Now, according to this reasoning, it for sure doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah, right? The reason is not because of Kinyanim that we exclude Toin Tanis Ganav, but because Kvar Yotzei Deibalim B'Shvua Rishona. The second Shvua, as Tosus points out, even if he doesn't know and Bezin was much Bia and they didn't realize he had a priest, it doesn't make a difference. It's not a Shvua's Hadayanim. It doesn't have the status to be Mechayev you Toin Tanis Ganav. So certainly now we would be Mechalik between Rosh Hashanah and. But the truth is, one can be Mechalik between Rosh Hashanah and Kofar B'Pikadom B'Nishba, even on the basis of Kenyan, in theory. Keep going, one more line. It Barnami, Omer Avin. Okay. Omer Avsheshes. So this is a very interesting maskana. What's the Gemara's maskana? Gemara says the maskana that if it sounds like if there's kofar pikadon ayde shvua, then you're patur because lo yatz because kvar patar atzmo b'shvua, right? And if it's shaleach yad, why are you patur? Yeah, all of a sudden the Gemara quotes it as if it's a Gzeres HaKasuv. So is the Gemara saying it's a Gzeres HaKasuv, or is this an indication? But the reasoning is Kinyan. Not sure. So here you have a Machlokes HaRishonim. Who and who? Daniel? Did you see it? Hey, we'll finish with this tomorrow, but everybody should look at it. The Rambam and the Ravid. Right, the Rambam paskins that, in this case, Shalach Yado, the Achakach Ta'an Tainas Gana, is Potur. And the Rambam says, why? Shekvar Kano. And the Ravid says, no. Because once we brought in the idea of Sheyatza Kvar Kavaso B'Shvua Rishona, it shows that that Kofar Bikadon straight or Shlichus Yad, which are identical, neither of them would be Potur, Mitoin Tanis Ganav. That's how the Ravid read. So how did the Rambam read the Maskana of the Gemara? Not that it's Gzeres HaKasuv. We have to look at Tosis also. So we'll finish this up for tomorrow and the other Makaros that I gave you. Not tomorrow, for Thursday. And you know, when we finish all this, I already start beginning some camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to look at the
lush
and the round of this
Brahmos?
I'll look at that.
That's okay.
You're absolutely right. I thought you were coming.